May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to God. Amen. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You may remember in the 1960s a play by Dennis Potter called Son of Man. One or two nods. It was controversial at the time for its portrayal of Jesus. And I remember watching it and seeing, it's obviously stuck in my mind because it's a long time ago, remember an agonized Jesus in the desert crying, "Is it me? Is it me?" And it's a question that the devil asks repeatedly in the gospel story as he challenges Jesus' identity. If you're the Son of God, really? Can you prove it? Satisfy your hunger by turning these stones into bread. Jump from this rock so that God will protect you. And look, you can have all this if you will worship me. Jesus, however, seems to be thinking about a different question. Not who am I, but how do I fulfill my calling? He's just had that wonderful experience at his baptism in the Jordan, where he saw heaven opened and felt the Spirit of God upon him and heard the voice of God proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Perhaps that was the point when Jesus first became conscious of his special relationship to God, of his uniqueness. And then the Spirit drives him out in the desert. Most of the translations say led, but in the little bit of Greek that I've been learning, it's a strong verb. The Spirit drives him into the desert. There at the start of his ministry, to think things out, to understand more about his relationship to God, to consider how God wants him to carry out this ministry. So perhaps rather than, "Is it me?" Jesus was thinking, "I believe that it is me. I'm the one you have anointed, Father. I think I see the way I have to go. How do you want me to work? Am I right in the way I'm thinking? And if I am, can I cope with all that it may bring?" And so Jesus wrestles with difficult choices, personified in the figure of Satan. Choices between God's difficult path and what might seem to be an easier road. He's testing his vocation, and he's testing his relationship of obedience and trust in God. The commentator David Lowe comments, "Individually, each temptation invites Jesus to turn away from trust in God. In the first, the devil invites Jesus to prove his sonship through a display of power. That is, by establishing his validity and worth through his own abilities. In the second, the temptation is to test God's fidelity. And in the third, more an out-and-out bribe than temptation. But Jesus is promised all the power and glory the earth can offer if he will give his allegiance and devotion to the tempter. In each case, Jesus rejects the temptation and lodges his identity, his future, his fortunes, on God's character and trustworthiness." In other words, Jesus makes his choice. We all have to make choices in life. Some of them are trivial, about personal preference. Some are about the direction of our lives. If we were listening to the news yesterday, we heard Philip Rutnam, a senior civil servant, make a huge choice when he publicly resigned from the Home Office and made perhaps not complimentary remarks about the Home Secretary, making a big choice there about a way to go. It's nothing like as devastating as that, but I'm about to go on a pre-retirement course as I begin to think about my retirement, which is not just yet. Not till September 2021, next year. They let you get to these courses quite early. Some of these will be about practical choices, many of which are choices I've already made, but that's not true for everyone. But there will also be sessions about, as it were, what next? In what direction should we newly retired ministers go when we enter a new phase in life? How can we continue to respond to God's call, for instance? These are choices which affect ourselves, our families and friends. But we've reminded earlier that what can seem to be small choices in life, where and how we shop and what we buy, how we spend our money, all of that can have impact on the lives of other people. Not our families and friends, but people that we don't know, people far away. Mike was reminding us about how worldwide a fair trade movement is. And I want to read a few comments about shopping, which I came across when preparing this reflection. They're from a sermon called Learning to Consume Rightly by the Reverend Dr. Bruce Hamill, who is a Presbyterian minister in New Zealand. He says, "It's a complex matter, shopping. For all its complexity, there is a simple reality here. The lives of others are at stake. The ability of the poor to feed and clothe and educate their children, and even to survive, is related to how we consume. The global market and the multinationals do their very best to make those people invisible to us, so that all we can see are the cheapest prices. They do their best to help us miss seeing the real story and the big picture. They do their best to make the product cheap for us at the expense of labour costs. That's how the market works. Here's the challenge. We like to say, I have faith. I believe in God, I pray. But the Bible wants to know how that looks in our everyday life. Not just whether we are nice to our friends, but how we do our shopping. God addresses us as we write our shopping lists. God's call on our life is present as we walk down the aisles with our trolley, and we were reminded of that earlier. The choice is not whether to consume, but how. I think that's quite interesting because we tend to have a guilt about consuming at all, but not whether to consume, but how. The Bible wants to know what living the life of Jesus looks like in practice. How can we resist the system that destroys our neighbours overseas? And that writer in his sermon then goes on to talk about fair trade. Fair Trade Fortnight very much reminds us of some of our choices related to shopping and how we use our money. And it's a positive message that our choice can give choice to others. Mike mentioned the Fair Trade Premium. And the Fair Trade Foundation says to us that making the right choice can mean freedom and a way out of poverty for the farmers and producers in developing countries. As we've heard, through fair trade, farmers receive a better price for their goods. And they also receive an additional premium which they can choose to spend where they feel they need. So the premium gives them a choice that otherwise they would not have, choosing the best way to invest in their community or in business for a brighter future. So our small choices mean big choices for those people. Of course, choices big and small come right throughout our lives. Another commentator, Audrey West, comments that Jesus' temptations are not a one-time ordeal to get through and then everything's perfect, but preparation for the choices that Jesus makes during his ministry. In his encounters with people who are sick or in need, healing on the Sabbath came to my mind as a choice that Jesus takes, which leads him into conflict. There are choices as he relates to those who try to test his loyalty to his religion, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And there are choices that he makes as he relates to those who worry rather a lot about the world's assessment of greatness rather than God's. And some of that relates to his own disciples. Jesus' encounter with the devil represents in many ways his encounter with the pressures, the cultural pressures of his own day. And we too are continually faced with complex choices over and over again in our time, in our situation. Fair trade and how we consume is just one. How we adjust our lifestyles to help counter climate change is another huge one for us today. How do we respond? What does it look like to trust God in our context? What are the appropriate uses of power and authority that serve the world, but also do that through serving God? For Jesus' disciples in every time and place, these are important questions, difficult questions about how to live out our faithfulness and the realities of daily life. I think we sometimes gloss over the temptation stories, if it was obvious actually what direction Jesus would go. But surely it's more deep than that. It's about him wrestling with himself, perhaps wrestling with God in the way that we read about Jacob in the Old Testament. For the choices that Jesus had to make are not easy. If he's to be successful in delivering God's message, he needs the ear of the people and the ear of the authorities. He needs power. How best to achieve this and to stay true to his vocation to God. And that period in the wilderness was not his only time of temptation. As I said, it's a continual struggle to do the will of God against the pressures and against his own inclinations sometimes. And surely that's true for each one of us. We struggle with our own choices in life. Jesus' power came from staying close to God, from a life of total integrity. And that's our model as we make our own choices in life, whether they be about fair trade, retirement, employment, or whatever. Amen.